They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Given new data today, let's give the job market a B+. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, a private sector count of American payrolls showed some strength, even if it wasn't spectacular. Let's consult Mark Lucchini, chief investment strategist from Janney Montgomery Scott. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, David.
Well, there was a sign of strength here in this ADP payroll report.
It was a good number, a little bit below expectations, but importantly, a couple of things within the number was the fact that small business hiring made up about half of the total 208,000 jobs that ADP said was hired in the month of November, which is good because obviously so much of job creation occurs in small businesses, and as a consequence, that's a healthy driver for economic activity. In addition to that, though, we saw a revision to the prior month's October's payroll numbers upward by about 3,000. Not significant on a number of 230,000, but at least directionally positive.
The underlying data here are from a private sector survey of payrolls. A lot of people know ADP, the payroll company. Is this a decent hint about what's to come on Friday with the official jobs report?
It is. In fact, several years ago, Moody's took over the calculation of that payroll number produced by ADP, and as a consequence, the correlation has tightened significantly. It has a high predictive value. So, yes, if past this prologue, it does suggest that this number sets up pretty well for what we're going to hear Friday morning.
These chief investment strategists are jet-setting types, and we reached Mark Lucchini at the Pittsburgh airport. Mark, thank you.
Glad to be here, dude.
The publishing company Billboard will be releasing a new top 200 record album chart tomorrow. And for the first time, the rankings include data from downloads and music streamed digitally. Sam Harnett reports.
If you know this band, the album Leaf, it's probably not because you have its album. The band doesn't sell very many. But the album Leaf does get millions of plays on streaming services like Spotify. Richard Lang, a rep from their label, says Billboard's new formula could give bands like this more recognition.
We're going to have a kind of industry standard which reflects people's behavior a little bit more closely, how people are consuming music.
They're streaming it. The music industry made over a quarter of its revenue in the first half of the year from streaming audio. That statistic comes from the Recording Industry Association of America. Meanwhile, CD sales and downloads are falling. Paul Reznikoff runs the blog Digital Music News. He says Billboard's new metrics probably won't change the rankings too much.
Successful artists get traction across almost every platform.
Reznikoff says big names like Sam Smith and One Direction will still dominate the charts. They may stay there even longer when all the streaming and downloads are counted. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
The First Amendment says the government can't limit free speech, except when it can. For instance, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater if there's no fire. And what about tour guides who want to speak aloud about local attractions? The guides at some vacation spots are suing their cities for making them get a license. As Georgia Public Broadcasting's Sarah McCammon reports, the guides claim the licenses infringe on their First Amendment rights.
Most days when the weather is mild, which is much of the year here along the Georgia coast, you'll find Savannah Dan leading tours of the city's downtown historic district.
That river is where we get our name. That was the Savannah River long before a European stepped foot in North America.
And like dressed in traditional Southern garb, straw hat, bow tie, and seersucker suit, Dan Ledger tells visitors about the history of Savannah and the state. Ledger is a plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging the city's tour guide licensing requirements.
You have to pay a $100 fee to take their test, and then you have to get a physical. What my physical fitness has to do with walking around and telling stories, I have no idea. I have to have a background check every year.
The city of Savannah says these requirements make sure tourists feel safe and that tour guides have at least a minimum knowledge of the city's history and architecture. The Institute for Justice is challenging that law and similar ones in New Orleans and Washington, D.C. Robert McNamara is the public interest law firm's senior attorney.
The big picture here is your basic right to communicate for a living.
McNamara says the market, not the government, should decide if a tour guide stays in business. He says lots of people have jobs like this.
We pay people to give lectures. We pay people to tutor us in math. We pay people to talk on the radio. And no serious person believes that those people are somehow outside the First Amendment.
In Washington, D.C., Matt Orleans of the city's Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs says this is not about free speech, but consumer protection.
The licensure requirement is not there to judge whether someone provides a good tour or a bad tour. They're there to ensure that you're complying with the law.
The District of Columbia has dropped its requirement that tour guides take tests, but they still have to have a license, for now anyway. The Institute for Justice is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on whether licenses for tour guides are constitutional. In Savannah, Georgia, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And Britain's finance ministry says it'll finally pay off the last bit of money it owes for World War I. Not the Suez Crisis, not the Falklands, not two, but World War I. Apparently, there are still people walking around holding war bonds that pay 3.5%, potentially forever. These perpetual bonds have no fixed maturity. But the British government says enough is enough, and next March it'll pay back the last $3 billion owed. The bonds issued in 1932 were really a refi for a war that started in 1914, which is 100 years ago. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.